Seek and destroy. That has been the theme of Discussions of Truth now for, well, I'm in my seventh season here. And we started the show on Wynwood Radio in Miami. 2016 is when I agreed to do the show with them. Aired the first episode January of 2017. This is Ian Trottier here. And today we are going to start talking. If you are not familiar with the name Charlotte Eiserbit, she passed away about a year and a half ago. She's a former advisor to the Department of Education under Ronald Reagan. Her story is very interesting and captivating because she talks about having received a list of these Skull and Bones members via mail that was sent to her father, who was a Skull and Bones member at Yale. And Anthony Sutton was hot on that trail. So two names that you should familiarize yourself with, and that is Charlotte Eiserbit, or Charlotte Eiserbit. I've been told I'm not pronouncing the word right, but she didn't correct me, and I had her on the show 4 years ago. But Charlotte's work, and that is the deliberate dumbing down of America. She talks about the invasion of the American education system, and that having been formalized under, was that Jimmy Carter back in 1979, Department of Education. So she talks about that through her book. And then also what I was talking about was Anthony Sutton calling her, being hot basically on the trail of dissecting the corruption that is, well, really, it's really manipulation. Because Elihu Yale was a major stockholder, a main president of the British East Indies Trading Company. That is a Rothschild-controlled trading company. And the Rothschild funded the American Revolution. So I may be off here, ladies and gentlemen, but if you look at the flag that was flown above the John Paul Jones, the USS Alfred, commandeered by John Paul Jones along the Delaware, that basically started the American Revolution. That flag is basically identical to the British East Indies Company flag. And then that you trace that and you go back to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and something called the Flag Committee, which is Continental Congress approved. Washington Franklin adopted what became the first flag of the what became known as the United States, and that was the U.S. Grand Union flag, which predates the Star-Spangled Banner, of course, or rather the flag that we know as being designed by Betsy Ross. That is the U.S. Grand Union flag, which is identical to the British East Indies Company flag, because that is where the financing came to fund Washington's army. And then you ask, well, wait a second, that's English. And, well, yeah, it is English, but it's not English, because London, the city of London, is not technically part of England. It is its own banking sovereign nation. It's a Roman banking colony, still in existence. These are all facts, and you can cross-check them. But anyway, so Seek and Destroy Corruption. That is how I... That is how I theme my discussions, my conversations, my talks. It's what I do. Ian Trottier with Discussions of Truth. And today we're going to talk about the Department of Education, the state of the education system in the United States. So quickly, before we bring the guests on, we'll be talking to Gloria Giorno and her son Stevie and getting their view as conservatives, what it's been like for Stevie to go through, I think it's Belmont University, as a conservative. So, without further ado, thanks for tuning in. Forward the podcast on. And we're bringing on Gloria and Stevie right now. Calling Gloria and Stevie. This is Ian Trottier for Discussions of Truth.
Yes, he's here.
Hi. Excellent. Hi, Stevie. So, thanks for joining the show, and please give listeners an introduction to who you are. Gloria, you can start. Tell listeners who you are, what you do, and then Stevie, you can do the same, please.
My name is Gloria Giorno. I am the author of Outcast, Have a Radical Left Try to Destroy a Young Conservative. And I also founded a nonprofit. The name of it is United Women Foundation. What we do is mentor, employ, and aid young conservative women who are in Stevie's situation. And we also give out scholarships to conservatives who are not in need of a scholarship, but who are conservatives and who are promoting the conservative agenda in their lives.
Thank you, Gloria. And that's UnitedWomenFoundation.com. I'll go ahead and put a link to that in the episode.
Thank you.
Stevie, go ahead and introduce yourself for us, please.
Well, thank you very much for having us on. My name is Stevie Giorno, and I serve as the chairman of the Tennessee Young Republicans, and I am the former student body president at Belmont University, where I was attacked by the radical left for being proud of my country and being proud to be an American on the 4th of July in 2020 during the BLM riots.
Incredible. Thank you both for doing what you're doing, and Gloria, as a mother, for protecting your family and your country. I've looked at the website. I've looked a little bit about both of you, and what's interesting is you've come my way, and your story's come my way through a contact there in Florida. And Stevie, your story is very similar to another a person in that area of South Florida whose daughter went through something very similar in her university classes. But Stevie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you experienced. You were the student body president at Belmont University, yet you were attacked for your political views. Is that right?
Not only that, I was attacked for no political views, just for being proud to be an American. And really what caused it all to transpire was on the 4th of July, I posted a picture of myself in front of the White House, and I captioned it that I was proud to be an American, and I thanked those who had sacrificed and served so that we may have the freedoms and liberties that our forefathers intended for us. And within 24 hours, my fraternity was blackmailing me, threatening to label me a racist and remove me from the fraternity. There were hundreds of comments on my Instagram post, and there were hundreds of signatures on a change.org petition that sought to remove me as the duly elected student body president, even though I was elected unanimously with almost 98% of the vote. And so it was really sad that students, friends of mine, my fraternity brothers, wanted to attack me because I was proud to be from this country. You know, my grandparents escaped from communism in Yugoslavia, and my mother lived there for a year. So I've heard the firsthand horrors of what happens in a communist country, and I fear that our country is headed that way every single day.
Now, what's interesting is one of the articles that I went through briefly is written by Campus Reform. It's published on an online newsletter called Campus Reform, and one of the stories that they have today actually talks about glorifying Che Guevara. This is a socialist figure that helped with the Cuban communist revolution and Fidel Castro. You're talking about your family having come from communist Yugoslavia. Are you seeing Stevie in your experience on campus? I don't know what you're doing now. Maybe you graduated. You can bring us up to date with where you're at right now. But are you seeing some of these same signs that perhaps your mother or your grandparents were talking about that were red flags for communism growing within the country? Are you seeing that, experiencing that?
I do, and I think, unfortunately, it is getting worse. Specifically at Belmont University, the school is refusing to allow a Turning Point USA chapter on campus. I think it's awful. It's an infringement on our First Amendment right to freedom of speech and freedom of belief, to protest, to assemble. And so it's really unfortunate what's going on with colleges and universities. I graduated in the spring of 2021, but I've heard of the horror stories happening at private Christian schools, so-called Christian schools, happening across the country. And until students and parents and grandparents begin to see what is happening, you know, the first step to solving a problem is acknowledging it exists and it's there. And it's not going to get better until enough conservative students and parents realize that they need to stop funding the indoctrination machines of universities and change course.
Well, that's very brave of you to say that. Gloria, I want to get your view, and I want to first say this. I opened this show up before I brought you on with talking about somebody named Charlotte Eiserbit, and I'm happy to send you her link to her book. It's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. What she did was she started dissecting what was happening under the Reagan administration with the attack on the indoctrination that we're seeing fruits of today. A few decades later. But Gloria, did you ever expect or suspect that something like this might happen to your son? He gets into college. Were there anything happening up to that time where he's now the student body president of Belmont University? Anything before that that you questioned? Well, you know, hey, he might need to defend himself, or was this a complete surprise to you?
It was a complete surprise. There was absolutely nothing. The handbook, the literature, the online documentation about Belmont University, everything fit the conservative Christian agenda. There was nothing. I mean, personally, I think it's a bait and switch, but there was absolutely nothing. I was friends with some of the professors who are conservatives at Belmont, or who were conservatives at Belmont, and we had spoken for 2 years before Stevie made the decision to go there. And no, there was not any kind of indication that anything like this would happen. No, we would never have allowed our son to want to go to a school where he would have been threatened for his beliefs. I mean, he had been working for Republican candidates since he was 17 years old. So it was out in the open. It's on his LinkedIn. It's public. So no, I mean, we were told on every tour, we were told at every meeting that this was a bully-free campus. There would be no harassment. It was Christian. It was conservative. And I read the handbook, and Stevie followed all the guidelines when these things did start to occur. He did follow all the guidelines. He followed all the rules. He turned everything into administration, and they did nothing, absolutely nothing.
And Stevie, go ahead.
To this day, they have not responded in any way, shape, or form. Nothing. And this has been 3 years now.
So you have not gotten a formal response from the school administration?
Never.
Stevie, you're simply in D.C. taking a photograph outside the White House expressing your gratitude for the country and the values that it stands for. Did you ever suspect this type of backlash coming from the student body?
No, I never thought it was possible. You know, I remember hearing the stories of my grandpa telling me he had to hide in the 1940s from the Nazis and then the 1950s from the communists, because he knew that if he spoke out against them, that they would send him to a camp where he'd never be heard from again. And really, that whole year of 2020 was either you agree with everything we're saying, you endorse the BLM organization, but we're going to do everything we can to destroy you. And in fact, because Tennessee is a single-party consent state, that means you can record conversations with only one person knowing. I did record those conversations with my fraternity, which my mom put into her book. And in those conversations, my fellow friends, my fraternity brothers say, if you do not apologize for your post, if you do not endorse this group, we're going to do whatever it takes to destroy you and your career and your reputation. So it's a more mild form of what happens in communist countries. But because these students were not held accountable, it is only going to get worse and worse. And it did. I mean, there was one instance where a female student who worked at a fast food restaurant I would go to for my breakfast in the mornings, she admitted in the official College Democrat group text that she was putting, quote, gross stuff in my drinks every single day because I was an awful conservative who loved this country and wouldn't endorse the BLM organization. And the school, guess what the school did when I turned her in?
What did they do?
They accepted her into Belmont Law School.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm serious, 100%. She was rewarded for attacking a political opponent, and I think that's dangerous. As we see what's going on with President Trump, he is being attacked because he's leading in the polls, and it's truly unfortunate that we're becoming a banana republic.
Yeah, did she make you sick with whatever she put in the drinks?
Fortunately not. I found out about a day or two after it occurred, and it actually happened. The day I found out was on the 2020 presidential debate at Belmont, where President Trump debated with Joe Biden. And fortunately, I went to the doctor the next day. They ran some tests, and I was healthy. And we couldn't even get the Nashville police, who are unfortunately very short-staffed due to the liberal city council and the liberal mayor at the time. Unfortunately, they were unable to investigate it because I was perfectly fine, thankfully. But they said since there was no lasting issues that they refused to investigate. And then the school accepted this girl into law school with full knowledge of everything she had done. So it shows the systemic problem we're having. And imagine if this is happening at a conservative Christian private university in Nashville, Tennessee, one of the most conservative states. Imagine what's going on in all 49 other states where we don't have the ability to record conversations and to take screenshots of texts and emails and have such transparency. I mean, it's terrifying to think what's happening in these other colleges.
Yeah, very well said, Stevie. Gloria, you then have set out to write a book on what your son experienced. Tell us about that book and tell us about how it's been received.
Well, we had many options, but at the end of the day, we did not want to be silenced. We had many attorneys approach us and say, you know, you could file suit against three entities. That's all fine and dandy. We're not in it for the money, A. B, as conservatives, we will never be gagged. And win, lose, or draw, we would have been gagged. And Stevie, my husband and I, we want to speak out on this. We want people to know. I need parents and grandparents to know what their children, and yes, very teen, but they're still our children, what they face and what they are up against when they go away to school. We need for parents to fight back. We need for parents to take a stand. If 40% of students stopped attending their respective universities, you know that the agenda at universities with administration would change. So we as conservatives, we have that title of being the silent majority because usually we are silent. Well, Stevie and I wanted to change that, hence the book. I feel that the book is an educational tool for parents. Learn from what happened to my son. Learn from the experience that we've had. We went to this university many times. It's not far from our home. We investigated it. We knew people who worked there, who taught there. And never once did we feel that it was going to be a threat to our son. And look what happened. So whatever you're seeing, I dread to think what's going on at public schools. I just dread. But I want parents to learn, read the book. You'll see everything is documented in there. As my son said, fortunately, we're able to record and we're able to use everything for information. But we need for parents to be more active in their students and their children's educations, even when they are at college, because they are all indoctrination facilities. I did live in a communist country. I went to first grade in Zagreb, which was then Yugoslavia, in 1972. And I can tell you that on my way to school, my walk to school every morning, I had $1,000 in my backpack. I knew if civil unrest broke out at the age of 6, I knew how to get out of Yugoslavia, get into a cab that was waiting for me at the end of a hill, and that cab driver would take me to the border of Yugoslavia and Italy, where one of my aunts would meet me, and my parents would come when they were able. I also knew the police officer on the corner, he wasn't there for me. He wasn't there to make sure that I'd be safe or anybody else. He was definitely there to protect the communist regime and Josip Tito, who was the dictator at the time. And the parallels that I saw with what I experienced living in a communist country and what my son endured at Belmont University, it's there. It is clear as day. And I want to enlighten everyone who wants to hear from me. I want all parents to know this is happening in our country now, too. We are being silenced and shut down.
The title of the book, folks, is Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative, and that is Stevie. So, Stevie, was this the attack on you, was this coming from the BLM movement at Belmont University or in Nashville? Have you identified the nucleus of where this attack came from?
Yes, it was from fellow students who participated in the BLM organization in Nashville. These students were also part of the College Democrats at Belmont as well.
Okay, so let me ask you a broader question. What we saw during the Trump administration, we saw a total social unrest with this BLM and the Antifa uprisings, mainly Seattle, Portland, but obviously across the country, Chicago, New York. But that coincided with this COVID 19 virus outbreak. As a university student, you've now graduated. But Stevie, were you drawing any parallels to either of these things happening during the Trump administration that seemingly linked to a communist revolt within the country? Is that making sense? Were you able to draw any connect any dots, Stevie?
Yes. Well, I think it's important to remember that people were terrified. They thought that COVID-19 was the most deadly thing since the plague, and so they were willing to trade their freedoms and liberties for security from the government, when we know from history that it usually doesn't work that way, and the government's going to keep taking more and more of our rights. And when you couple that with what is happening, what did happen in 2020 with the riots and people getting away with committing crimes, to where if you and I or anyone else who was a conservative did burn down a courthouse like they did in Nashville or protest and kill innocent people in the streets, we would go to jail. However, because they were advancing a political movement that the liberal district attorneys in big cities supported, they were let go and they were not punished like they should have been, like we would have been. So the hypocrisy is terrible. I think it does parallel communism, to where, you know, if you remember the black shirts, Mussolini's black shirts, taking control of the Italian government, because they were advancing the political agenda and movement that the powers that be wanted them to, they were able to harass and intimidate people into supporting them. And I fear that our country is going that way, and we need people to stand up now if we're ever hoping to take back our country and get it back on the right track and under control.
Gloria, the book is recently published. It looks like it was just published last month, and you've got a foreword by Sam Sorbo. How's the reception of the book been so far? What are people saying? Who have you spoke to about it? How's it being received, Gloria?
From what I am experiencing, the book's being received very, very well. We've been on a lot of media outlets that are reaching out to us. I'm being asked to speak almost on a daily basis. Different organizations, different groups. Stevie and I have traveled to a lot of different states throughout the country, and we will continue to be touring. And we are, I have parents, I've started a conversation, and parents are now extending that conversation with their friends, and that is the goal. We need to, a conversation starts with one person talking to another, and now the growth has been exponential. It's incredible. The book is selling very well. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. But from what I have witnessed and the calls I am getting, yes, it is doing very well. And I do hope that parents are learning something from it. And I mean, if we as conservatives don't speak up, we're going to be done. This is it. And if America falls, there is nowhere else to go. And our children are being indoctrinated. I don't care what level of schooling it's at. They're being indoctrinated on every single level. And if parents do not set a strong foundation in the household when the child is born and continue that throughout a child's life, when they go to college, always, we will not be America any longer. So the book is being well received. I do have parents who have reached out to me and who have asked me questions. Likewise, I do have some haters, but that's how I know I'm making a difference, because the hate is there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. It's like when you, once you're censored, you know that you're putting up the correct information online, right?
Yep.
Stevie, are you concentrating on any particular campuses as you tour the country?
No, just trying to get the message out to as many young people as possible. I still try to help out my friends at Belmont University, where, you know, recently they were trying to do an event with the College Republicans and the Promise Keepers, but the school shut it down because the Promise Keepers believe in the biblical definition of marriage, which is between one man and one woman. And being at a Christian school, you'd expect them to understand that viewpoint of a Christian organization. And unfortunately, they canceled the meeting that was going to happen at Belmont. And so been trying to help the students out there at Belmont. But really, I think the key thing is getting in front of as many young people as possible who are conservative and letting them know that they're not alone, that the hardships they're going through have happened before and they're going to happen again. And we've got to stand up tall for what we believe in. And we can't be scared of people saying mean things about us or what people put on social media or what they may say to us. We've got to stand up for what we believe in if there's any chance of saving our country.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you this question, Gloria, as we wind down, and then I want to give each of you an opportunity to leave listeners with some final words and thoughts. But Gloria, as somebody who's lived in a communist country, and it sounded like you did at least 1 year of schooling there, first grade, what's happening right now to the border of your country? Well, what's happening down there?
Well, Croatia is now, the former Yugoslavia was divided up. And I am Croatian. I was born in this country, but I did live in communist Yugoslavia on and off again up until second grade. And right now, the part that I lived in is Croatia. The capital of Croatia is Zagreb. My family is still there. Now, my family thinks they're free. They believe they have freedom. And to an extent, they do. And I equate it to when I speak to a lot of young people, because young people are what United Women Foundation is mostly about. And so when I speak, they look at me very oddly when I tell my story. But what I have found that works very well is I bring up a lion at a zoo, and he's in a zoo. He's caged. His needs are met. He has food, he has shelter, he has water, he has medical attention, and it's all for free. But he is still in that cage, but he is able to roam in that cage, correct? And then we have the next picture, a lion. Picture a lion in Wyoming, in Montana, anywhere in this country, roaming freely. That lion fends for himself. He finds his own food. He finds his own shelter. He finds his own water. He takes care of himself. That lion is independent. To me, that is the difference. That is the bottom line. That is the difference between communism and America. That is the difference between our Constitution is that lion that is roaming free throughout this country. And that's what we are right now. So that is something that I think resonates with young people. And I believe that putting it in a perspective of a picture like that, they are beginning to understand a little bit. I hope at least. I mean, I don't know. Right now what I'm seeing is a lot of people have said we cannot have an opinion because we have not experienced it, which truly breaks my heart. My family in Croatia thinks that they are free. In effect, my family basically is that caged lion.
Yeah. Incredible. And let me review. What is happening right now at the southern border in the U.S.? What's happening down there? Why is this current administration being so lax and not guarding that border and letting it basically be flooded with these illegal people kind of entering the country? What's happening there?
Well, we're originally from the Chicago area, so I can tell you that, you know, I still have a lot of friends up there, and they tell me that, you know, there are thousands of, you know, illegals up there. And what's happening at our southern border is we're basically by votes. I mean, we need a border. We need a wall. We need anything. We need whatever it takes. I mean, it's really truly not fair that I know I've heard in the city of Chicago, illegals are able to send their children to school without any vaccinations, without any kind of, you know, any kind of vaccinations, period. But children in Chicago need to be fully vaccinated. So it's not fair. So in my opinion, Democrats are buying votes. They're trying to buy votes at the border. We're letting everyone in because this is destroying our country. It is destroying who we are. My parents came here legally through Ellis Island, ended up in Chicago. Both my parents, everyone I know, came here legally. But coming here legally means waiting your turn. It does not mean just, you know, swimming over and just, you know, running in. And we're opening up to sex trafficking, cartels, so many things, illnesses, so many things that we will never be able to get under control at this point. I don't know where they would even begin. I am hoping that Congress is able to do something. I'm hoping that we have a change, that we have a change of administration in 24. We need to fight like hell for next year. We need to all group together. I mean, yes, we are, Stevie, and we are conservatives. We need to fight like hell, though. We need to get on top of what's going on, but the Democrats are buying votes. How else can you describe it?
Yeah, and they're stealing elections. Stevie, are you going to be running for office?
Maybe one day in the future. Right now, just focused on making sure we get as many young people out to vote as possible in the state of Tennessee and ensure that we have the right representation we want. And I'll see it, you know, in the future, never going to turn it down if the opportunity presents itself. But focused right now on turning out the vote and starting a business and making some money.
Excellent. I'm going to send you folks a flyer, an event happening at the end of this month, so you know about that. But as we wind down here, I want to get some final words from both of you. We'll start with you, Gloria. Something you want listeners to walk away with? The book is Outcast, and Gloria, please leave listeners with some final thoughts.
My final thoughts are: I want listeners to know that they are not alone. If they are in our situation, they are not alone. An organization, a 501c3, United Women Foundation, is here for them. And although women is who we basically work with, I've also helped young men get internships and jobs. I want conservatives to know that they can all turn to unitedwomenfoundation.com. There is a button. You can fill that out, and one of us will reach out to you. We are throughout the country. Our board is all across the country, especially in blue states, even in New York. We even have a liaison in New York, believe it or not. We have someone in California. We're here to help you. I want to leave parents with, there is hope for our future if we instill values in our children from a young age. We have to also always know, have our children know that we are there. We support them. I mean, Stevie will tell you that his dad and I support him 110% in everything that he is doing. We're proud of our son. To us, our son is a hero to us. We are proud of him, and we want every conservative parent to be proud of their child. So stay close to your children. Make sure you know what's going on at their campuses and stand with them and let them know that you will support them through any kind of adversity that comes their way.
Thank you, Gloria. Stevie, some final thoughts and comments for listeners, please.
Well, absolutely. Well, thank you for having us for the past half hour. We really appreciated it. And I guess my final thoughts and words would be that even though it may seem hopeless and depressing, and, you know, some days our country is hanging on by a thread, there's more people out there that think like us, that believe like us, and vote like we do, and that it is up to us to ensure that the hope does not disappear from this country, you know, dating back all the way to 1776. The American experiment has always been a long shot, but with God on our side and our Constitution, we've always survived. We've always gotten through the Civil War, the American Revolution, World War I, World War II, and all the wars since. And so there's always hope for our country. And it's a republic, like Benjamin Franklin said, so as long as we can keep it. And it's up to us to keep it at this point in time.
Gloria Giorno and Stevie Giorno, thank you for joining Discussions of Truth.
Thank you so much for having us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. The foreword is by Sam Sorbo. And again, this book just released. Looks like a publication date of the 1st of August, 2023. You can buy it right now. I'm looking at it in Barnes & Noble, Amazon. This is what's happening in the education system in the United States. And the reason I talked about Charlotte Eisenberg, the deliberate dumbing down of America, and I'm going to send that link to Stevie and Gloria. Charlotte's book, but literally this is how the centralization of government, otherwise known as communism, the economy has been centralized formally since 1913, and that is the passing of the Federal Reserve Act. That is a complete manipulation of the financial system. And like Josh Yoder, commercial airline pilot, told me when I was telling him these things, he says, Ian, you mean that basically equates to the United States never having received its independence economically, financially. And that's absolutely correct. $33 trillion debt. The Biden administration and the Trump administration is no better. But the Biden administration has sunk the federal deficit since June into another $1 trillion. Where's the money going to come from? And the only person I see actively pushing back against this right now on the Hill is Matt Gaetz. You had basically Ron Paul for years and years and years crying out against this deficit, and it turned on deaf ears. Well, we got to keep the government financed. Well, isn't that what taxpayer money should be going towards? Instead, they're going towards eloquent dinners, and Biden was just at a Broadway play. Instead of meeting with the other very left, if you will, Mayor Adams of New York, he went to a Broadway play. And you're seeing right now Merrick Garland getting grilled on the Hill and completely deflecting all of these answers. I mean, for a guy that's got a BA and a JD from Harvard. He's giving these total buffoonish responses to very simple questions. He's completely deflecting these questions. And it's, Andy Biggs, or whether it's Jim Jordan. And of course, Democrats completely coming to his aid, saying it's a complete waste of his time. Well, no, it's not a waste of time here. You've got a political civil war happening in the United States. It is a political civil war. The divide grows deeper on a daily basis. And nobody's against immigration. I was once married to a woman that immigrated legally into the United States. Okay, I was part of that process because I was the one that proposed marriage to her. So I'm all for immigration. I'm all for multiculturalism. But what I'm not for is laws being broken to the best of, one's ability, but certainly crossing into another person's country without permission and proper documentation is an illegal act. And to have the highest office of the land do nothing about that now, 3 years into this, it's a slap in the face. And if I were Abbott, if I were Governor Abbott in Texas, I'd be doing something a little bit different. I'd be doing simply something a little bit different. I'd have my National Guard activated on other levels. That's just me. I would be defending my state as if it were my country, is what I would be doing. Now, I know there's probably laws that the federal government would, you know, step in and override that. And nobody wants to see things get unpleasant. But we're already unpleasant politically, right? We're already unpleasant politically, where you've got the Attorney General of the United States not answering questions properly because deflecting answers towards Mar-a-Lago and documentation that perhaps he feels that the former president shouldn't have had, and or January 6th, right, when we know that Pelosi rejected National Guard coming into that thing. And my personal feeling on that fiasco was that that was an inside job provoked most likely by strings of Antifa. It was a black op. You cannot decipher a black ops legitimacy because it is basically a military operation. That's what a black op is. I feel, yes, that's likely what happened there on that day. Just as I feel that the American presidential voting system has been rigged since LBJ. And I base that off of the research of the Collier brothers and their book, Vote Scam, The Stealing of America. They wrote that book over 15 years ago in Miami. And that's exactly what their research says. Is that the presidential election system has colluded, the voting system with IBM has colluded with mainstream media dating back to LBJ, which means, yes, whether you're a conservative or a Republican or whatever your politics are, or you're left or you're a Kennedy Democrat or whatever whatever your political views are, what that means is that, yes, every president since LBJ, according to that research in that book, has been appointed, has not been duly elected. It's a facade that it's been duly elected, kind of like going into Vietnam and putting in democracy, right? That's what they want to do, is put in democracy. And by the way, the United States is not a democracy. It is a constitutional republic with democratic values. Okay. So I love when the left, if you will, loves to throw out, oh, we're in a democracy. This America is a democracy. They don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. They're false, because the United States is not a democracy. It's certainly what they want to turn it into. That aside from turning it into a communist state. So those are the things that we're looking at. Charlotte Eisenman, the deliberate dumbing down of America, the Collier brothers, vote scam, stealing of America. These people, the Bushes, Clinton, Obama. Maybe Trump got in there without, you know, being appointed or I don't know. And I have nothing against Trump. And I'm for Trump. I'm certainly for Trump. I'm a Trump voter. I voted for Trump. And I will likely be voting for Trump again. But I need some clear answers. I am not for Operation Warp Speed. Don't support that. And I'm not convinced that that there are not some deep state strings that are pulling the maneuvers over his head. I'm not convinced of that. Now, whether he knows that or not, I don't know. I haven't spoken to him, so I don't know. I was able to meet him, but I didn't exchange any words with him. Graced his presence, basically. So I don't know what he knows, and I don't know how it aligns to my research. And again, I'll fold that right back into the research of Anthony Sutton, former Stanford Hoover fellow that wrote the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. Not theory. Doesn't say conspiracy theory. There's a difference. The conspiracy is not a theory if you have evidence to support that it actually is a conspiracy. And the Federal Reserve, not being a federal institution, being a private bank that doesn't get audited, well, that suggests that it is controlled by a conspiracy to destroy the country, and certainly could be being done by a power that has been in existence for well over 100 years. We're talking about some of these very ancient. I was sent today earlier something about the Black Pope, and I've written about it in my book, Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. So you can order that on Books A Million. But in that book, I dissect the three different popes that control basically the largest global theological movement in modern man that we know of anyway. And that is the white pope, that is the gray pope, and that is the black pope. And what you have here is the public figure, the white pope, which is the man known as Francis, today a Jesuit, the first Jesuit pope ever. You've got the gray pope, who is the head of the Society of Jesus, otherwise known as the Jesuits. And then you've got the financial pope, the one that pulls all the strings. That's one Pepe Orsini, it is considered, known as the black pope. So anyway, these things do get complicated. But as we look at the history of the values, the various elements that have made the country great, what were the enemies back in the 1620s that caused the Mayflower to cross the ocean? What were the enemies that Washington and Franklin were battling in 1775? And are there any common enemies that still exist? Well, there certainly are. And I write about that extensively. So anyway, get the book. What a wonderful story, because what you see happening here with the Giornos is exactly what every American needs to be doing. And it hasn't hit home, likely, perhaps, maybe, for you or for your neighbor. It hasn't quite, you know, it hasn't hit your daughter or your son or your mother or your father or whatever. You know, it hasn't hit home. Well, it certainly has for the Giornos, because a student body president. Okay, this wasn't just a student. We just heard it from him. He was the student body president at a otherwise conservative Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. He was attacked for basically doing nothing more than showing his support for peace and constitutionalism. That is the country that he was born into. And that he loves. And he was attacked for that. Well, folks, not only do we have a political civil war, but we have a revolution actively happening right now in your country, if you're in the United States. And it's being invaded by an army, by illegal occupants. Believe me when I tell you that they are soldiers that are crossing that border to destroy the United States and absorb it into what is known as the New World Order. And the New World Order is written right back on that dollar bill that is still in circulation. They haven't successfully taken out the currency. It's written in Latin, so that'll give you a good idea of where this economic power comes from. Yes, they base themselves at the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. Very craftily disguised and designed to do so. Novus Ordo Seclorum is the phrase which translates to New World Order. It's not a theory. That's a fact. And it's written on the back of the dollar bill. That's your deep state, folks. So once you figure out who's controlling that entity, which is controlling the Federal Reserve through the Rothschild Bank of the City of London, that'll help you understand who has invaded and is successfully, right now, has manipulated your presidential election 2020 and is inching closer and closer on a daily basis to conquering your United States of America. So that's up to you whether you want to voice your opinion and write books like Gloria has and Stevie has. I urge you to do so. I urge you to speak out, stand up, and make your voice heard. Because like Gloria said, if you don't, you will lose your country. See you in Trache for another discussion of truth. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be awesome.